good morning. And I haven't heard that in a while. All right. We're going to be at 10 o'clock. We're going to have Mass, Holy Mass. So if we could finish your drinks and your little delights here, then we'll begin, okay? So today we're going to talk about Luisa and the Divine Will. And the Lord is basically saying to the world, you know, through the earthquakes, the floods, the famines, the plagues, the Lord is saying to the world, this is the signs for you. But for us who love Luisa and this great gift of the Divine Will, the sign of the times for us is Luisa and the Book of Heaven. So what we're going to do today is we're going to focus on this great gift. Our Lord wants us to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. So our job is to get to understand who the Lord is in Luisa. So we'll begin in volume 383, the year 1900. My daughter Luisa, why do you look for me outside of yourself, while you could find me more easily within yourself? So here we find that Jesus is telling us where he is, and where he is within Luisa. Now this is important for us. When you go to Luisa, you will find Jesus, you will find Mary. She has the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, and this is the life that our God wants us to have of the new Adam and of the new Eve. So he says, look within yourself, Luisa. So when we link ourselves up to Luisa, when we go to Luisa, we can be confident that we will find Jesus. So Jesus says, when you want to find me, enter into yourself, go deep into your nothing, and there, without yourself, in the most tiny circle of your nothing, you will see the foundations that the divine being laid within you, as well as the factories it raised in you. Look and see. So he's saying this to Luisa for our benefit. When you want to find Jesus, enter into Luisa. She has the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. Now, the saints had a virtue or two of Jesus, a virtue or two of Mary. Within Luisa is you find Jesus. But where is Jesus? He's in her nothingness. Okay, so that says to us that we also have to enter into our nothingness. When we, you know, you look at this, you know, Hollywood, you know, they're all patting themselves on the back, giving themselves Oscars and all sorts of awards. Jesus is the one who we should be praising. Jesus is the one we should be applauding, not humans. And so when we're stuck here on earth, all we see is the things of the earth. And our Lord says that the Catholic life is the supernatural life. And that's the life he wants us to live. So what is the supernatural life? As Catholics, we understand this. When we go to Holy Mass, we receive Almighty God, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth. We receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity as our food. That is supernatural. When we fall into sin and go to confession, the priest absolves us, and it is Jesus taking away our sins. This is a supernatural. When we bless ourselves with holy water, when we use the sacraments and the sacramentals, this is, again, a life of the supernatural. So as Catholics, we have to really begin to understand this life that our God wants us to live, and that is a life of heaven and no longer a life of earth. You always hear, you know, we're here to make the earth better. Well, that's true. But we're here to live heaven. We're here, Jesus' prayer, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So we're called to bring this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven by our being filled with peace, joy, and happiness, living in our nothingness. Our nothingness is very important to God. If we think we're important, God cannot use us. Look what happened with Peter when the fish were caught. He fell on the feet of Jesus while he was still in the boat, and he said, Lord, leave me. I am a sinner. I am nothing. You are God. And Jesus says, good. Now that you know the truth, now I can use you. Now you will be a fisher of men. See, it's when he recognized his nothingness that God could use him. And it's the same thing for us. We have to go to confession. You know, that has to be part of our Catholic life. We have to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Not just reading a book, not just praying, but falling in love with our Eucharistic Lord. We have to really pray the rosary and see Jesus through the eyes of Mary. We have to wear the scapular, wearing the clothing of heaven. We have to begin to live this supernatural life and to prove to Jesus that this is the life we want. You know, so here Jesus says, look within Louisa and you will see. And it's the same thing for us. As we look into Louisa, as we enter into this life of Jesus and Mary found in Louisa, we're filled with peace, joy, and happiness. We are living heaven on earth. So Louisa says, I looked again and I saw solid foundations and a very high walls that reached up to the heavens. See, it's God is going to protect us from the things of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Why? Because when we enter into the divine will, we really begin to live the life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These walls that will keep the devil at bay. You know, all that's happening in the world today, the Lord is saying to everybody, look at the sign of the times, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, floods, famines, plagues, tsunamis. This is what God has to do for the majority of the people, because the majority of the people are very far from God. They are living their own lives, own selfish and self-centered lives. And he's asking us to live in our nothingness so that he, the Lord, can reign in us. And this is the high walls that the devil cannot conquer. He cannot invade. So when we look at Louisa, what we see is these very high walls that Jesus says he wants us to be behind as well as our defense. But that which stupefied me was to see that the Lord had done this beautiful work upon my nothingness, and the walls were all walled up with no openings. See, now this is glorious. There's no way that the devil can come to you. There's no way. One could see only one opening in the vault, which was corresponded only to heaven. See, the only opening was to heaven. This opening, in this opening dwelled our Lord Jesus Christ upon a stable column that rose out of the foundations formed over nothing. See, this is why the nothingness, if you don't have the nothingness talk, this is something that's most important. To begin to live in the divine will, you have to know that God alone is holy. God alone is good. That's what's going to happen at the time of illumination of conscience. We're going to see God as holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth, and none of us will be able to stand. He is so holy. He is so beautiful that when the illumination of conscience comes, we're going to see our nothingness, our sinfulness. We're going to see how we have affected everybody in our life, not just the immediate person that we might have been angry with or offended, but all the people. How offending one person affected everybody in the world with our sinfulness. Not helping them, how it affected everyone. So Jesus is showing us that we have to begin to live in our nothingness. I am nothing. God is everything. So we don't go around, you know, with our head down saying, I'm terrible, I'm awful, I'm disgusting. It's basically you're saying, I am nothing. Jesus, you are everything. I am weak. Jesus, you are strong. See, we want to go to God. We want to embrace God. We want to be one with God because he is our everything. You know, we do not know how to love, but he loves divinely. So this is what's happening here. The foundations, now while I was looking, all stupefied, blessed Jesus added, the foundations formed over nothing means that the divine hand of God operates there where there is nothing. And it never mixes with works, its works with material works. So God never, God is so beautiful, so holy, he breathed into this dust, into Adam, so that Adam could be filled with God's image and likeness. Okay, so it's not that God was going to participate in dust and dirt, but God was breathing into this dust and dirt so that Adam could become like God. Okay, so Adam could love with the love of God. It could be filled with the light of God. It could be filled with the life of God. It's to enter into the Lord. See, this is why, you know, the Protestants say, you know, I have a personal relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, this is good. We all should have that. But Catholics have something a little bit more. Well, how can you have a little bit more than having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? As we have a personal relationship with our Queen and Mother, Mary. See, it's the two of them together, Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And as you enter into this, when we talk about Jesus, we always talk about Mary. They're always together. Jesus and Mary cannot be separated. And this is why it's so glorious to know Louisa, because Louisa possesses the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. And this is what we want. We want to fall more in love with our Lord. We want to fall more in love with our Lady. We want to be faithful and obedient to Christ and His church. We want to have this blessed, are you Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, as part of our life. We don't want to be separated from God at all. So Jesus says, where God works, there is always the nothing and the nothing, and God never mixes its divine works with human works, with material works. The walls without openings around mean the soul must have no correspondence with earthly things. See, this is why we are called to keep holy the Sabbath. It's not another day for sports. It's not another day to do what you want. You know, and I hear a lot of Catholics say, well, I'm going to Mass Saturday night so I can do what I want on Sunday. No. It's keep holy the Sabbath. It's not your day. And as Catholics, we have to begin to really live this Catholic life. We are different. We're not part of the rest of the population. We don't do anything on Sunday. We don't get gas on Sunday. We get gas on Saturday. And if you go, oh, I forgot all about it, then, hey, keep holy the Sabbath. Don't forget that. That is the Lord's day. That is God's day. You know, well, we'll all go out together and have a meal. Well, what you're doing when you do that on a Sunday is you're making people work for you on the Lord's day. Well, we'll keep it a family event. Well, you're still keeping people working on Sunday when it's the Lord's day. See, we have to be attentive. Do we really love Jesus Christ? Do we really want to be Catholic? You know, this is why we abstain from meat on Friday. Not only during Lent, but we do, the church asks that we do this all year long. Why? To remember Jesus and his crucifixion on Friday. You know, it's the little things that are important. And to be a Catholic is the greatest gift in the world, because this gift of the divine will is given to Catholics. And if you're not, if you don't have a non-contraceptive mentality, you can't receive this gift. Now, people say to me, well, I want my family to have it, but my family doesn't want it. Well, if they're living a contraceptive life, they're said to God, I'm not open to life. I'm not open to truth. I'm not open to what you, God, want. I want what I want. And God says, fine. God backs off. He can't give this gift to those that have a contraceptive mentality. They've already said no to God. See, this is the gift of gifts. There has to be that fiat. And that's why obeying what the church tells us, obeying what the church teaches us is so necessary. This is most important for us, that we begin to live the Catholic life. And it's not to say, basically, I'm going to do what I want, but I want to listen to Holy Mother Church. I want to listen to Jesus speak to me. I want to see things from Christ's perspective, not from a human perspective. That's what the church teaches us. So Jesus says very clearly, the walls without opening around mean that the soul must have no correspondence with earthly things in such a way that there may be no danger that even a little bit of dust, of dirt, may enter, because everything is walled up as well. So there is no danger that the devil is going to bother you. If you look at television, newspapers, magazines, movies, it's the devil trying to influence us. There's no real union with Jesus with the things of the world. So we have to begin to separate ourselves. And if you really think about it, in the early church, those that loved God would go to caves. Those that loved God would go and they would spend their time in the desert. Why? Because they wanted to separate themselves from the rest of the world. They wanted to seek Jesus. They wanted to be one with Him. Now for us, you know, with families and jobs, you really can't do that. But you separate yourself from the earth by focusing on this great gift of the divine will, looking at this sign, Louisa, looking at the times that we're in, and God will separate you from your family, from your friends, from your neighbors, from your coworkers, from your parishioners. When your friends say, hey, let's do something on Sunday, I can't. Why can't you? It's God's day. Well, you can at least go out to dinner with us. Well, it's God's day. You know, when somebody says, your family member is going to be married outside the church, you know, are you coming to the wedding? What wedding? They're Catholic. And for me to be there would be saying, I'm happy that if you die today, you go to hell. See, we have to get back to the truth. You know, when you stand your ground and you say, this is what the church says, and I want to be faithful to the church, you are giving your faith to your family and your friends. But when you back down and go to, you know, somebody who's a Catholic marrying in a park, you know, with a Dalai Lama leading the ceremony, I mean, you're not teaching the faith. Again, you're going to be hated, you're going to be ignored, you're going to be ridiculed, you're going to be mocked, you're going to be despised. Why? Because you're judging me. No. If you paint a house red, the house is red. That's not judging. If you're marrying outside the church and you're a Catholic, you're not going to get the blessings of God. The marriage is not whole. See, we have to learn what it means to be Catholic and to stand up for our faith. And who do you do that to? To your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your co-workers, to your parishioners. And what's going to happen at that point? You won't have many friends. You won't have many neighbors. Everybody will be angry with you. You're not like us. Who do you think you are? See, this is what it means to live in your nothingness. I want to be faithful and obedient to Christ and His church. I want to live in my nothing. I don't want an award. I don't want a pat on the back. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here at this ceremony we're having in the middle of the forest as our wedding. No. See, Jesus says, live in your nothingness. You know, we want to be directed by Jesus. We want to be faithful to Christ and His church. So it says very clearly, not even a little bit of dust or the devil may enter, because everything is walled up very, very well. The only correspondence that these walls allow is with heaven. To see what it means to be Catholic? You are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. You have a holy water font at your door. You bless yourself as you enter. You bless yourself as you leave. Lord, bless me. You have a prayer room where you can go and pray. Spend time with our Eucharistic Lord if you can go to the church, if you haven't got any place at your house. If you can't get to the church and you have the internet, you can go to savior.org, and there is Jesus in the monstrance. You can adore him and love him and praise him and thank him and glorify him in your home. But you see, it's to spend time with Jesus. So Jesus says this: the only correspondence with that these walls allow is with heaven. You're looking at heaven. And that is from nothing to heaven and from heaven to nothing. And this is the meaning of the opening made by the vault. See, we want a direct communication to God. We want a direct link with God. So again, you're going to have to begin to turn off the television, turn off the radio, turn off the newspapers, magazines, turn off the movies, the entertainment. You have to begin to be focused on Jesus. Like last Sunday, I heard this man. There's some beautiful music, and this man came on who said, "I was raised as a Catholic, and now," he says, I was raised between two worlds. We went to church every Sunday, but I was raised as a Catholic, and my father loves sports. So now," he says, "my life is sports." So what does he do? He goes through the statistics of all those in football and basketball and soccer and hockey. He knew everything, but he did not know Jesus Christ. I mean, to keep holy the Sabbath is very, very important for us. You begin with that and watch what God will do. Again, the stability of the column means that the soul is so stable and good that there is no contrary wind that can move the soul. And my dwelling, Jesus says, upon it is the sure sign that the divine work done is fully divine. So that's what God is going to do for us. As we link ourselves to Louisa, who she's the sign for us, God is going to really allow us to begin to live her life, which possesses the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. Volume 6, 4, 14, 04. "After this, I saw many foreign people around my bed, priests, gentlemen, women, and it seemed that they were going to come to visit me." And that's what we do. She's talking about us. We're foreigners, and we're visiting her. When we pray, we're always calling Louisa. Okay? "Several of them were saying to the confessor, 'Give us an account of this soul, Louisa, of everything that the Lord had manifested to her and the graces God had given to her, because the Lord manifested to us since 1882 that Jesus would choose a victim, and the sign to recognize this victim would be that the Lord would keep her always in the state like a young woman, just as she was when he chose her, without aging or changing in her very nature." So again, this is the other thing. If you are foreign to Louisa, she looks like an old woman. But as you get to know Louisa, she is very, very young. She's newborn, Jesus says. And as you get closer to Louisa, what you're going to discover is a beautiful young woman. Why? Because this is what Jesus wants us to see. She's not an old hag, you know, stuck in bed. That's what most people look when they first see Louisa. Who's that, your grandmother? No, this is Louisa. Louisa Picaretta. It says very clearly. "Now, while they were saying this, I don't know how, but I saw myself just as I was when I became bedridden, without having changed a bit, for having been in a state of suffering for so many years." Now, she went to bed when she was 17. There's one picture of Louisa. I think she's, I think they said she was 18 or 19. And we have one picture of Louisa as a young woman. And it's a perfect picture, except for her face. You cannot see her face. It's all light. Here's the only picture we have of Louisa. And she's a young woman, but you cannot see her face. Now, why? Because this is going to be a great surprise to the world. When we see Louisa, she's not going to look like we see her right now. She's going to look very young. She's going to look very youthful. Why? Because the gift that God gave to Louisa is the preternatural gift that he gave to Adam, to be young, eternally young, as God is eternally young. With this gift of the divine will, there's no sickness, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, and eventually no more death. When Jesus begins to show us what he wants for the world, it's going to convert every Jew, every Buddhist, every Hindu, every Muslim, every Protestant to become Catholic. That's the last chapter of volume 24. Jesus is going to bring about a complete restoration of the face of the earth. Why? Because what God breathed into Adam was the universal life. This Catholic life. That's why when Jesus came to earth, he started the Catholic faith. To get back to this universal life. There's not going to be many churches. It's going to be one church, one flock, one shepherd that Jesus promises us in sacred scripture. One church, one flock, one shepherd. We're going to see right now, unfortunately, out of the 7 billion people, 1 billion are Catholic. Okay? This is not good. That's why there's talking about a new evangelization. And the church wants everybody to enter into this new evangelization. What they have forgotten is if you have the same old, you're going to end up with the same results. We might have a billion people. Jesus is going to bring about a complete transformation of the face of the earth. What Jesus is going to bring about is going to astonish the earth. And that new evangelization is the divine will, yet the church does not know it yet. Those that are reading Louisa, studying Louisa, those that are really proving to God that they want this life, see very, very clearly what this is about. And I can't wait, like I've said it before, for the theologians to begin to read Louisa and to study Louisa and to give all their knowledge, what they know in the sacred scriptures and our dogma and doctrine and the lives of the saints, how everything points to this new life, this abundant life. But you see, the sign is Louisa. This is what God has given to us. When we get to know who Louisa is, everything in our life begins to change. So when you see Louisa as an old woman, watch what God's going to do. Volume 6, 12:12:05. My daughter Louisa, when the creature does good, a light starts from her, which goes to God, and this light gives glory to the God of light and embellishes the soul with a divine beauty. So, again, this life of the divine will is to give God all the glory, yet as we give God glory, God fills us with what? A divine beauty. Not a human beauty. A divine beauty. And this is why these walls that we talked about, that the devil cannot conquer, these walls, he sees this light. He sees this divine beauty for the souls who are living in the divine will, and he flees from them. He will not, you know, with the saints, they're always trying to fight off the devil, you know, fight off temptation, fight off all the evil. In the divine will, it's different. As you begin to live this, the devil flees from you. Why? Because he sees Jesus. He sees Mary, given to us by Louisa. And he cannot be around Jesus. He cannot be around Mary. Again, you're going to see things that will astonish you. Because what God is calling you to is way beyond what you ever could possibly imagine with the saints. When I saw the confessor taking the book written by me in order to read it, and together with him was our Lord saying, my word is rain, and since the rain fundicates the earth, this sign to know whether what is written in this book is rain of my word is that it is fecund word, and makes virtue germinate. Virtues germinate. So here, here's this book. This is the book of heaven. This is, again, the sign for us is Louisa and the book of heaven. That's our sign. Louisa and the book of heaven. Jesus' word is rain. Rain brings fruit to the earth. The sign to know whether what is written in this book is the rain of my word is that it is fecund word, which makes virtues germinate. Everything that you have been striving for years and years and years, your holiness that you're looking for, the goodness that you want to live, the virtues that you want to possess, that you've been struggling with for years and years and years, is given to you almost instantaneously. What normally took centuries for the saints, Jesus says, will happen in a few days for those who begin to live in the divine will. Watch what God's going to do. You're going to be so happy that Jesus has introduced you to this great gift, Louisa, and the Book of Heaven. Volume 7, 3:13-06. My daughter, if you cannot be without me, so much am I necessary for you. Now, we want to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We want to go to Holy Mass to receive Jesus in the Eucharist worthily. Okay, Jesus says, if you cannot be without me, how much more, he says, am I necessary for you? So here the Lord is showing that even this want that we have for Jesus, it's his want in us. He wants us to be with him. Now, somebody just came in. As Jesus begins to live in you in this with this great gift of the divine will, a whole new beginning happens. A whole new beginning. He says, it is a sign that you are necessary to my love. If you're reading, it is a sign that you, with Louisa, are necessary to God's love. So here, you know, we have the Book of Heaven. We have the rounds of creation, rounds of redemption. As you begin to pray this, as you begin to pray the prayers that Jesus prayed, as you begin to pray the prayers that Our Lady prayed, as you begin to pray the prayers that Adam prayed before the fall, Jesus says, this is a sign that you are necessary to my love. In fact, the degree in which one becomes necessary to someone else is a sign that the second is necessary to the first. So, if you have the Book of Heaven, Jesus has given that to you, number one. And it is a sign that God, you are second, you're necessary to him, the first. So as you read, as you study this, as you put this into practice, great things are going to happen. Therefore, even though sometimes it seems that I am not coming and you struggle, I see how necessary I am for you. Think about that. He's using his name. It is how necessary God is for us. As this necessity grows in you, as you become to read more, as you begin to put this into practice, so does it grow in me. And I say to myself, I am going to go and take this relief for my love. I am going to go and reign in us who are linked to Louisa. See, God wants to breathe in our breathing, beat in our heart beating. God wants to walk in our walking. He wants to be so much part of us that he does not want to let us go. He is so in love with us that he wants us to be one with him, fused with him. Now, when you fuse something, it's two pieces of metal that you weld together, never to be separated. This is what God is looking for. Then Jesus says, this is why after you have struggled, I come. So it's the same thing. As you read, and this is our struggle, to find the time to read. As you struggle to read, Jesus is going to come to you in a way that will astonish you. This is not a pious thought. Jesus is actually going to come to you. It's not that he's 1,000 miles away. When we receive Holy Communion, and after Holy Communion, Jesus is reigning in us, what's going to happen is it's going to be a new beginning for all of us. It's going to be Jesus with us in a way that we have never experienced before. This is why the most sacred time of the day for us is right after Holy Communion. This is the time when everybody else is yelling and screaming and partying and, you know, having a wonderful time in church. We are basically in communion with Jesus. We're one with him. And anything that you ask for at that time, God will give you. But he says, how much more will I give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So when we receive Holy Communion, we're asking, come divine will, come reign in me. Come Holy Spirit, fill me with your light and your life and your love. Fill me with all that you want to give to me. And Jesus says, The Father is going to answer your prayer. See, the time of sanctification is beginning. Louisa is the one who brings the sanctification to this earth. It has to be a human. Jesus' job was to redeem us. Our Lady's job was to co-redeem with Jesus. The baby that fell into the well that's broken and bleeding, Adam and his family, God has redeemed, pulled them out of the well. But Jesus and Mary are not happy yet because we're still broken and bleeding. This is why we go to confession each week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. What Jesus wants now is Jesus wants us to let him restore us to where we were before the fall. That's Louisa's job. This is why this whole last century was to the Holy Spirit. Pope Leo XIII consecrated the world and the church to the Holy Spirit, 1900. And for 100 years, the church prayed for the Holy Spirit. John the 23rd prayed for a second Pentecost in the 60s. John Paul II prayed on Pentecost Sunday of the year of the Holy Spirit, 98 years later, come Veni Creator Spiritus, come Holy Spirit. See, it's a century of praying for the Holy Spirit, and as we know, and one of the key passages in the 36 volumes is volume 17, May 4th, 1925, where Jesus says, basically, Louisa is the one who's she's the one that the Pentecostals are praying for. She's the one that the Charismatics are praying for, yet they do not know it yet. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon the earth. And that's why Jesus says, ask for anything, but how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So when you go to Holy Communion, your main responsibility, yes, you have your friends, your families, your neighbors, your co-workers, your parishioners that you're praying for. But the main thing we're called to pray for is this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. The fire from heaven coming upon earth. Fire symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of God is going to come upon the earth. That's why he says in the third appeal to Louisa, he says, you haven't come after me. Since you haven't come after me, I, God, am going to come after you. And I'm going to wage war against mankind. But it's not a war of blood, it's a war of love. And mankind will not be able to push me away again. So what's coming is so beautiful that everyone will be Catholic. So that's why Jesus says to us, our job is the mission of missions, as the apostle of apostolates, to pray for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, to link ourselves with Louisa, the sign of the times for us, to go to the book of heaven, the sign of the times for us, to read, to study, to put this into practice so that the kingdom can be established. Volume 9, 2:24-10. So I said to Jesus, Jesus, you have deprived me of everything, of your sufferings, of your favors, of your harmonious, sweet, and gentle voice. I no longer recognize myself from the way I have become. And if you let me comprehend something, it is so deep inside that it does not find the way to come out. So here's Louisa lived a life of suffering. Okay, and she says, your suffering's gone. She goes, I don't even know who I am anymore. You're working so deep inside me that I don't even see it. Now, it's the same thing for us. We have everybody suffering here, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Each person is suffering greater or lesser than the person next to you. But every one of us is suffering. Okay, this is part of our purgation, where God is purging us. When we give our fiat to the suffering, deep, deep inside you, God is working. Again, you might not see it at this point. You might not understand it. So Jesus, Louisa shows us this. Tell me, my life, how should I behave? And Jesus says, my daughter Louisa, if you have me, you have everything. And this must be enough for you. If you feel filled with me, it is a sign that I keep you in the house of my divinity. So again, if we are looking to be one with Jesus in our rounds, looking to be one with Jesus, especially during Lent, reading the Passion of the Christ, if you are really, the 24 hours of the Passion, if you really are looking for Jesus, he says it is a sign that you are, I, God, keep you in the house of my divinity. So when we say we love Jesus, he has to become our everything. He, when we are washing the dishes, be attentive. Why are you washing the dishes? To adore God, to love God, to praise God, to thank God, to glorify God, to worship God through every bubble that ever existed. When you're washing the dishes and you hear a dog barking, for the dogs that have barked from the first dog to the last dog, I adore you, I love you, I praise you. We enter into this life. We say, Jesus, I look at the bubbles as you look at the bubbles. That's the divine act. I hear the dog as you hear the dog, because you're hearing in my hearing. And I adore you, I love you, I praise you. See, what happens at that point, it's a sure sign, Jesus says, that he is keeping us in his divine will. If a rich person admits a poor one into his house, it is a sign that he will give the poor one everything he needs. And even if he does not always speak to him or caress him, otherwise it would be a dishonor for the rich one. Am I not more than the rich one? Therefore, calm yourself. So that's what he's saying to us in our sufferings. And try to manifest what you can to obedience. Okay? Physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering. Instead of complaining, instead of being negative, it's fiat. Jesus is asking me this, of me, so fiat. As for the rest, leave everything to my care. So that's what we want. We want to make sure that Jesus is the Lord of everything that we think, say, and do. We have to become more attentive. You know, Jesus has to be everything. You know, especially at Holy Mass, and we're going to be leaving in a couple of minutes. It's a 2-block walk to the church. If you need to take a ride, you can drive up into the parking lot at the church. It's 2 blocks north of us. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So make sure you take your wallets and your. Otherwise, I'll be back early to look for your wallets. Okay, go ahead.
Those who have trouble with stairs, you should go in the main door, the front door of the church, and you can take the elevator.